She was a beautiful little girl, with big eyes and a joyous laugh that seemed joyously apart from that time and place. We watched as she ran along the street in the village of Camlow and looked up at the Marines standing in the back of a large truck. It was Christmas of 1968, and the truck was filled with brightly wrapped gifts from the United States. The girl pulled out a pair of white figure skates, and the look on her face seemed to ask why anyone would put metal blades on the bottom of a perfectly good pair of shoes. So another strange thing happened during my year in Vietnam, and another snapshot was added to the collection I will forever carry with me. There was the 19-year-old Marine who sat next to me near the landing strip at Vandegrift Combat Base, near the DMZ, and pleaded with me to look the other way so he could run. He was on his way to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, to serve 25 years for holding open the door while another Marine threw in a grenade to kill their company commander. There are moments when the war collided with the culture. I once ran down into a bunker during incoming and heard the Beach Boys blasting from a dusty stereo. There was the opportunity to take acid and take in the light show provided by the nighttime perimeter flares. There was filling a truck with a bunch of kids from an orphanage for a day at the beach like any day at any beach. There were the growing racial tensions. I recall the snapshots after seeing the final segment of Ken Burns and Lynn Novick's documentary, The Vietnam War, on PBS, and thinking how curiously incomplete it was. Filled with eloquent testimony to the horrors of the war and the deadly lies of American leaders and some of the most graphic combat footage most of us have ever seen, the film in many ways failed to answer the most basic question. What was it like to be there? I was a combat correspondent with the 3rd Marine Division. If there was such a thing as a good year in Vietnam, I might have had it. I moved around. I went on combat operations, on medical missions to small villages. I spent time in a mountain village and attended the funeral of a village elder. I covered combat engineers building bridges across the Perfume River. I tried to console a guy in my unit from Georgia who had heard from his wife that she was seeing someone else. He was allowed to go home to try to patch things up. He didn't. So much of who and what we are came together in Vietnam. It's important to remember that only about 10% of the Americans who went actually saw combat. The rest drove trucks and cooked and worked as clerks and got to go to a club at night and drink beer and maybe watch some porn. The PBS film seems to separate the Vietnam War from the Vietnam experience. It was so much more than combat, so much more than politics. It was millions of very young people, many of them drafted, bringing their American ways to a place where American ways didn't play well. There was arrogance and ugly disrespect in some cases, but some of us fell in love. Some of us simply took the time to look around and see one of the most beautiful places we would ever see. It was a time for small moments that often grew large in our collective memory. The little girl dragging those figure skates down the dusty street in Camlow reappears often. I went back to Camlow in 2003. I had this crazy idea that maybe those skates were such a bizarre piece of American largesse that they had been kept as a reminder of how far away America really is. I didn't find the skates. I did get a lot of strange looks. We certainly know more about the war now, more about the corruption and the lies and betrayal, if we watch the film by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. But we don't know much more about the country or why it's a really bad idea to send figure skates into a tropical climate. And we know very little about the mad, crazy, inspired things Americans did to get through their time in that stunning place.